The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In today's message, Elder Buddy Abernathy takes us first to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, which gives us a basic summary of the prophecy of the entire book of Revelation. This verse reads as follows: "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." This verse describes a cycle of evil rising and falling throughout the course of history, and the ultimate demise of the devil at the end of time. The basic message is this: we may experience persecution throughout our lives here on this earth, but Christ wins in the end. Chapter 11 demonstrates this principle, so join us as Brother Abernathy takes us through this good news of Revelation. But first, we have a song selection that we hope you enjoy. Then please stay tuned for the message.
Sing our wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace, in the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place of grace, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be, when we all
continue in chapter 11 of Revelation tonight. I want to look at a verse in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now this one verse encapsulates the entire prophecy of the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation as a prophecy is dealing with those things which transpired between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. That is, when Jesus came and died on the cross to save his people from their sins, followed by the church age of which we are a part today, followed by his second coming when he will come to take all of his redeemed people home to be with him in heaven forever. That's the prophecy of the book of Revelation. So you could say in one sense that some of it is fulfilled and some of it is not. And this verse covers that concept. That is, it gives you in one verse a description of that prophecy of the book of Revelation. Now, if you will read tonight, or when you have an opportunity, Revelation chapter 20, you'll see this exact same sequence of chapter 17, verse 8, described in more detail. It'll start out with an angel coming down and binding that old serpent. And then that serpent is released from the bottomless pit. And then he goes into perdition. So if you will read chapter 20 and compare the sequence with chapter 17, verse 8, you'll see a perfect parallel. And as you read chapter 20, you'll see, as I said in the beginning, that it addresses the first coming of Christ all the way through the second coming of Christ. So here we have it in a verse. In chapter 20, we have it in a chapter. And as we turn to Revelation chapter 11, in a moment, we'll see a timely application of this sequence. Now notice here in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, this sequence that is described. The beast that thou sawest. Now that beast is Satan, or that beast could be representative of any evil influence in this world. You remember Paul referred to Satan as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Apostle John in his epistles referred to the Antichrist. That just means against or opposed to Christ. So in the same way that you and I believe that there is godly influence in this world via the Spirit of God, in like manner, the Bible teaches that there are evil influences in this world via the spirit of our adversary. And you know in your own being, you are a microcosm of that principle. That is, you know within yourself, there's a daily battle of good versus evil. But notice the sequence he here describes. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. As you read Revelation chapter 20, you'll see that in figurative language there, it describes that when Jesus came into the world the first time, he bound Satan. That is, when he died on the cross, was buried, and raised again, when he himself, under his own power, arose from the dead, he fulfilled part of that prophecy in Genesis, where it says that referring to the seed of the woman, that Satan, or the serpent, would bruise his heel. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, that dealt a death blow to Satan. Not just his death, you understand what I'm saying. His death, burial, and resurrection. By his resurrection, he dealt a death blow to Satan. So you can see in this verse, the beast that thou sawest was, and now present tense, as John was writing in about 90 AD, he was able to say, presently, the beast is not. Satan has been defeated at the cross. But then he says, in the future, he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. You'll learn in Revelation chapter 20 that when he ascends out of the bottomless pit, one of the things he'll do, he'll encompass the camp of the saints. And that's the New Testament church. And it may look as if he's going to destroy the Lord's people, but it will say fire came down from heaven and destroyed him. So you see this sequence. Before Christ came into the world, the beast that thou sawest was. After Christ did his work on the cross, the beast that thou sawest is not. This beast that thou sawest shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That is, he'll be released for a little season. But finally, he says he shall go into perdition. And that's final permanent ruin in hell. Now, let's notice one other point made in this verse, and then we'll turn over to Revelation chapter 11. Notice the last part of verse 8. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, first of all, notice the contrast. The first part of the verse speaks of the beast from the perspective of God's children. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So notice that was, is not, and then he's finally ruined. But here he says, in the perspective of some other people, in the perspective of they that dwell on the earth. And in Revelation, when it refers to those that dwell on the earth, when it uses that terminology to describe people, that's referring to those that are not the children of God. And this verse proves that, because he says, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names, listen, were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. No question as to who these people are. But he says they're going to behold the beast that was same as us and is not same as us, but it concludes with yet is. See, God's people are going to ultimately be delivered from the evil influence. There's some people here that we would refer to as those that are not the elect of God. Their final reality will be the beast is. Their final reality will be an awareness, and shall we say, in the very midst of evil, as they are under the final eternal wrath of God in hell. So let me just quickly restate this because I realize it can be complicated, and I want to make it as simple as I can. This verse encapsulates that before Christ came, there was evil influence in the world that was greatly stifled by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is, the beast that thou sawest was and is not. In the future, maybe we're in that season now, maybe we're not, I don't know. But he's going to be released, he's going to ascend out of the bottomless pit, and when it appears he's going to wipe out the church and the testimony of truth, finally, he will go into perdition. Now, not only is this prophecy applicable to the entirety of New Testament history, that is, not only is this applicable to that period of time from the first advent of Christ until the second advent of Christ, but also there are seasonal experiences of this principle in shorter time spans here on earth. And here's what I mean by that. And we'll see this in chapter 11. That let's say over 200 or 300 years, there may well be a season of time that follows this sequence. Let's just take the history of our own country. Now, you and I may not be aware of this sequence of events because it's generally a much longer period of time than our short lifespan. But let's just look at recent history. Can we not say in American history that before we came here, the beast was? We were being persecuted. People fled here because they were being persecuted. And can we not say for a long time in America, we could say the beast is not? But can't we all agree now that he's ascended out of the bottomless pit in terms of his influence in America? But whenever it pleases the Lord, he can just throw him down again. So you see, not only does that one verse in Revelation 17:8 describe the whole arch of history from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ, but also it can describe periods of time in this world of which you and I can see that we're living in one of those sections where he has ascended out of the bottomless pit. Now go to Revelation chapter 11. And I know we spent a lot of time on that, and we're going to be mindful of the time in Revelation chapter 11, because I've found this to be so far the hardest chapter to interpret. And I still don't claim to have full understanding, but I hope I have enough that I can correctly interpret it in a way that will harmonize with what I've set before you so far. Now, last time we looked at the first two verses, we're just going to read those tonight and continue on. He says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Now keep the thought in mind The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Notice the season going on here in verse 3. The Lord says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. So where are we at on that sequence? The beast that thou sawest is not. Whenever there is progress made in the kingdom of God, as it is described here, we can see that that's a time that the beast that thou sawest is not. Because the Lord says, I will give unto my two witnesses, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And that period of time there is 3.5 years. So for 3.5 years, the Lord is giving power to his two witnesses to prophesy or preach, as we might say. He's giving them open door. He's giving them freedom. And we'll see primarily he's protecting and delivering those that would kill them if they could. And see, we can look at things today. So far, the Lord's still giving his witnesses power, isn't he? I trust we're still being blessed of the Spirit to preach. And I certainly recognize that the Lord is protecting us from our enemies. Now you say, well, who are these two witnesses? He says down in verse 4, these two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, while I may not understand what all is implied by the two witnesses and the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, I do know that in Revelation chapter 1, the two candlesticks, or candlesticks in general, represents the church, right? We know that for sure. So while I may not know why he uses the expression two witnesses or why he uses the expression two olive trees, I do know that this is a reference in some way to the church, because he also refers to it as the two candlesticks, two of these churches. Maybe the others had gone out of existence in the time under consideration. You know, none of them are there today. They all eventually died for various reasons. But he says, I'll give power unto the two candlesticks. So here's the point of both those verses we've looked at. Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Is that the Lord is going to bless his church and the gospel to go forward and have free course. Now, oftentimes that happens during times of persecution. And you may say, well, wait a minute. I thought we're looking at a time when the beast is not. As long as the gospel is being preached and there's power of the Spirit in the preaching, and the church is able to preach the gospel, that's a time in which the beast is not. Because the gospel message, even though the church may be experiencing persecution, is prevailing and having free course, and the Lord is providentially protecting his people.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.